We'll start there in Isaiah 30. Been talking about 7 days of life. We've been talking about God being the Alpha Omega, Him that was, who is, and is to come. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, that where I am, there shall you be also. He's not just in the now. He's not just in where you were. He actually wants to get you out of where you were, but He'll fellowship with you where you were. If you're going to live where you were all your life, He'll love you, but He wants to bring you into sonship, where you're no longer an orphan. Then He wants to bring you into full age, joint heirship, amen. He wants to bring you into things to come. He wants to fellowship. He loves to fellowship around things to come. God loves to get you up in the future if you can handle it, amen. Praise God. So we're going to look at verse 26. We've been talking about 7 days of light. The Lord put this in our heart to contend. We know we're carrying a lampstand that's going to give 7 years of light and another 7 years of light in the darkest time of history. And it's going to give 7 days of light as well. These not consecutive days. It can be 7 days. You can see it as 7 days of dominion. Say 7 days of light. 7 days of harvest. 7 days of breakthrough. Amen. 7 days of light that come out from heaven and not from the earth. Amen. Verse 26 says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be what? Sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. In the day the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healed the stroke of the womb. And he's actually speaking to the people actually coming out from Babylon before they go to Babylon. He's prophesying their release. Your light's going to be like 7 days of light. You're going to walk in a continuous light that's not of this world. The Lord walked in it every day of his ministry. There was light upon him. He could see everything always. He knew everything about everything. Amen. It was a light. He was walking under the light of heaven. There's no stumbling. There was a lot of opportunities when you're walking in the light of God, amen, not just keeping you from danger, it'll actually move you into opportunity when you're walking in light. And we're believing God for this. I'll tell you, be honest with you, God got me so excited about this. He just poured. There was probably maybe a week and a half where I was buying yellow pads every day almost. And just couldn't get enough. And he got me so excited about all this. And, man, I was just rolling with him. And Alpha, Omega. And all of a sudden, I just hit all of this, all kinds of warfare, and all the stuff I've been doing wasn't working for me. And that's very unusual, because usually I just get above the enemy. I just kept going at it, going at it. I just wouldn't get anywhere. And finally, I said, Lord, what is up? What is going on? So I'm going to share some things with you today. You're going to have ears to hear. Amen. I'm going to give you some wisdom he gave me when you're dealing with promise and you're dealing with glory. Because we're not just dealing with promise, we're dealing in the realm of glory now, amen? When you start dealing in the realm of glory, things change, amen? There are different operations. When you're dealing, there's a whole level of accountability when you're dealing in the realm of the glory that's not there when you're not dealing with the realm of glory. You can get away with a lot when you're not dealing in the realm of glory. But when you're dealing with the realm of glory, you have to walk the walk, talk the talk, but you have to be very, very close to Him, amen? Because you have to see, because there are enemies that are unseen, unforeseen, that you cannot detect in the natural. They cannot be detected. They're super slick. Amen. And only in the light of God can you detect them. Amen. And only being very close to Him can you detect them. And I'm going to give you some answers, hopefully today, that will help you with some of the warfare maybe you've been battling and how to get out from it and get back above it. Amen. God's ultimately is going to bring a massive, awesome birth into this house. We're right in the middle of it, and we're dealing in the realm of glory. And because we are, we have to be very, the Bible says, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Amen? But we have to be walking as light. So I'm going to share a few things with you today. Sometimes in the middle of breakthrough is the time the enemy comes, but you can't discern him all the time when you're in the middle of breaking because you're so high on God. You know, when you get high on God, that's a good thing. But you can get high on God. What happens? The enemy will try to empower the soul part of you instead of the spirit. And you can get in some trouble when you get high on God if you're not careful. Amen. Go to 2 Samuel 6. I'll share what he gave me this morning. Set me free. Hallelujah. Then we're going to be in a favorite chapter, Exodus 17. Praise God, because that's part of it too. But this one's when David was going to retrieve the ark. Remember when David went to retrieve the ark? He was excited. I mean, David was in the height of, he's been crowned. He's moved in Jerusalem. He's about to move the ark in. God is just with him. The favor's on him. The glory's on him. He's excited and he's looking at the ark. He's like, I am going to go get the ark. I'm bringing it in Jerusalem. Now see, David's not only dealing in the kingly anointing, he's going to start dealing in the glory realm now. Because when you start getting around the ark, you're in the glory realm. Things are a little different when you're in the glory realm. You can get all excited. He was so excited. He gathered 30,000 men together. We're going to go get the ark. Amen. Let's just go get it. It was in Abinadab's house at the time. And he went in there with 30,000 men. He said, just put it on the cart. Let's go. He didn't realize there's going to be some accountability when you're dealing in the realm of glory. You're going to have to walk softly, but there is a time that you can rejoice. There's a time to live in the heights of God, but there's time to respect the glory too. You have to respect the glory. And David hadn't learned that respect yet. It was a very, very costly lesson he was about to learn, because excitement alone and the glory, because we've been in some glory, and even the last couple of Sundays have been amazing, but the excitement and the glory that comes out of it alone will not sustain you. You have to have a very healthy respect for what God is doing. Amen. And you got to walk softly around it. Amen. This, I promise you, before God, all I can do is just tell you some things I've learned, but God himself has to teach you how to walk with the glory. Amen. God himself will teach you, just like he taught David. He'll teach every one of us how to respect the things of God and how to walk in the glory. Amen. Because we're coming into the glory. Very powerful stuff. So let's look at verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah, say Uzzah, or you can say it like this, Uzzah, and his brother there, and the sons of Abinadab, and or drove the new cart. Verse 4, it says, they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio, boy, they had some names, didn't they? Praise God. And he went before the ark. Everything's good so far. Amen. No instruction. David said, just go get the ark. Praise God. Bring it. And David, now he had 30,000 men. He's happy, rejoicing, excited, full of glory. I mean, this guy was just all over this. Look at him. He has 30,000 men. I mean, he took the whole army out to go to bring the ark in. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on the matter of instruments. And they made fir of wood and harps and psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals. I mean, they were putting on a show. They were excited. They were in the worship. They were all excited. And they had no idea there was a disruption in the spirit about to take place. Because his men and he himself were not trained properly to respect the glory of God. Amen. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah, everyone say Uzzah, put forth his hand to the ark of God. So he put his hand on it. See, there's a time to play. There's time to pray. Amen. And there's time to respect. And everyone, I mean, you have to understand, they're all dancing, they're all playing, and everyone's happy, and that ark is walking along. And all of a sudden, it starts to shake a little bit, and he took his hand, and he was on the cart, and he grabbed that ark to steady it. And when he did, he died instantaneously. Say, died. There's some things in you that are going to die whenever you touch the ark. A lot of times when you're touching the glory, you don't know you're touching it. Amen. A lot of times when you're walking on things you're not supposed to be, you don't know you're doing it. Sometimes you're living in the result of it. And sometimes you'll have to understand there's a difference between carrying things in the spirit, carrying things in the soul. Problem is, when you're getting really excited about God, your soul man's going to want to jump in there too. In fact, the enemy's going to see to it, because that's his last ditch effort to stop the birth of God, is to power your soul to get it integrated in what God's doing. Because God in the glory realm, you can write this down, is not going to bless the operations of the soul. He will not bless the operations of mixture. He will not bless, and sometimes you don't know which one you're operating out of. There has to be a sword of Hebrews 4. It says, all things are naked and open before the eyes of him of whom we have to do. He says, dividing asunder, the two-edged sword, dividing asunder spirit, soul, joint, and marrow. Sometimes he has to divide that. There are going to be seasons of life. He's going to be constantly aligning, correcting things. But sometimes you don't know you've gotten over-involved. Sometimes you can be excited and get too involved in the things of God and the wrong part of you. And what happens, that part of you trying to access the glory of God, but that's the wrong part. Amen? And the wrong part of you gets empowered. It doesn't matter how aged you are in the Spirit. Doesn't matter how deep you are in the Spirit. The wrong part of you get engaged in the things of the glory. God has to stop. He has to put a stop to the whole thing until that thing gets put down. Amen? A lot of times you don't know that it's there because you're living in the overflow and there's a party all around. I mean, the symbols and the dance. I mean, everything in the Spirit's moving, but that thing is resurrecting at the same time. And God himself has to show you. So while everything's rejoicing, something's shutting down in you. And the very first thing you need to understand, when something begins to shut down in you, when you're in the days of glory, something is wrong. Because we are called to walk alongside that ark. We are called to carry that ark. We are called to facilitate that ark, especially when it's on the move. When the ark is on the move, we're called to facilitate it. But we can't be touching it. Do you understand that? There are things you can touch the ark with. When your spirit man seated in heavenly places with God, you can wrap everything around it. But when you're not, and your soul is trying to wrap itself around the things of God, you can get in trouble. So I'm going to give you a little visual. So let's imagine 7 days of light. God has given an assignment with 7 days of light. And this pulpit is the assignment. Amen. I want you to receive light for 7 days on this thing right here. Easy enough, right? Now, the thing about 7 days of light. So let's imagine 7 days of light. I want light on this thing. Amen? I need light. I need 7 days of light on this. But this is something in the earth. Amen? Now, when God speaks it, there are two different ways to get light. One, you're not going to get any. One, you're going to get a lot. Here's what happens if you get too integrated, because God gets you all excited. And so what you want to do is like, oh, this is mine. God, bring me some light. And if you keep going, what happens is you get all up and integrated in this thing. So I got a lamp here. Father, 7 days, this is my lamp. But I want you to bring the lamp right here, God. And so what happens is you get all integrated up in this thing. And this is what you end up doing. Okay. God, 7 days. Here we are. 7 days, Father. 7 days. 7 days of light. And what happened? I'm exercising faith, Father. I thank you, Father, for 7 days of light. The light that's in me is 7 days, Father. Are you hearing me? 7 days. And so I'm doing this, and I'm big faith man, right? And I'm doing this, and every day I'm doing this, I'm getting integrated all in the wrong place. Because what's being wrapped all around this thing is my soul. You see that? Because number one, I'm exercising faith from the wrong place. I'm in something I shouldn't be in. Do I kind of look like I'm in the wrong place right now? I mean, can anybody get a witness? And hey, and this is too is a message, how to get untangled when you've been tangled. Ah, God, I loose this thing. Oh, I loose my soul. I'm wore out, God. You called me to this. And then you get all upset and you get all agitated. You called me to this. You told me to receive 7 days. He goes, I didn't tell you to wrap yourself inside that thing. How many times have I taught you, you don't get integrated in things beneath. You get integrated now. Father, where are you? you're above. I am above that is under my feet. You cannot stand in a position like this in your soul. The soul has to bow. The spirit man ascends into the hill of the Lord. But if your soul is all integrated down underneath there, if it's all integrated inside there, you're never going to see, hear, or understand what God wants you to see, hear, or understand. But when you're up here, you can see very clearly. Amen. You don't have ceilings. This is the operation of the spirit man. This is the place you exercise faith. Amen. God gives us an assignment. But what happens is there's two parts of us, and one part can get integrated the wrong way. And so you think you're exercising faith. I even said it. I was out playing golf. I said, God has me plowing right now. I'm plowing because I'm feeling all this burden. I wake up this morning, God whispers this scripture to me. I fill you with all joy. Anna was talking about in peace and believing. I'm like, I don't have any joy and peace in believing right now. I'm full of heaviness. I'm full of burden. I'm feeling like, oh, I've taken on. Here's another thing about the soul. Listen to me. When the soul takes on something of the glory of God, it bears the weight of it, and it'll bury you. How many of you ever been where I'm talking about right now? And when it buries you, you're in the wrong place. You're trying to do all this, and the soul takes on false responsibility. It presumes that it's responsible for birthing the light. What happens is you begin getting weighted down. Even you're doing the things of God. I'm praying. I'm doing all this. And you're going through, what am I doing wrong? How many of you have ever done that? What am I doing wrong? You're going through all this. You're trying to find out what you've been doing wrong. What did I do? This. I'm going through my hit list. And so I wake up and I hear that. I'm like, I don't have any joy right now. Honestly, I didn't. I'm like, I'm doing what you asked me to do. He goes, no, you're not. And he took me to this scripture about David and the ark. He goes, you haven't learned yet. You're too integrated in this thing. You got to get out from it. Let it go. I don't want faith from down here. That's not what I've taught you. That's not what he's teaching us. I want faith from up there. He goes, let it go. I'm like, I don't want to let it go. You spent 3 weeks putting it in me. Let it go. See, when you're going to exercise faith from a standing position up here, you have to fully empty all of it. You have to get with God. You have to come in the throne of grace. You got to empty your soul out. Like David, he had to learn to respect the things of God. I mean, he was so disheartened when Uzzah was struck down. He stopped everything. He sent the ark to Obed-Edom's house. He stopped everything for 3 months. He goes, I'm not touching it. He had to get it readjusted himself. God had to readjust him, and all the people started coming up to him and said, hey, Obed-Edom's house is getting blessed. You dropped the ark over there. And Obed-Edom goes, just keep it here because you didn't even know who I was. Now I'm getting blessed. God wants that ark, and he wants you with it. But you got to learn how to walk with it. And so it took David 3 months to get adjustment. You don't always see these things right off. Sometimes you're going to have need light for light. I'm believing God for light, but I needed light for the light. That's called grace for grace. I need grace for the grace. I need light for the light. If you get misaligned in your faith, what you're doing is you're plowing to the wrong part of you. The Lord said, don't use that word anymore, plowing. He said, we don't plow in the kingdom, we inherit freely. He goes, oh, put yourself in the plowing mode. You're working for it. And what works? Because your soul, and you can be in works. And I was in faith, confessing, believing. I was doing all the stuff, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And it got so heavy. Anna goes, man, it's so heavy in our house. I mean, how many of you have ever gotten under that where anything I did was a chore? Just anything. You get so, and you don't know that you're doing it. And you're thinking, I'm doing this for God. So you keep doing the same thing, but in reality, you're off bases, and I'm telling all over myself to try to help somebody today. Amen? What I needed was light. What I needed was God, show me. That's why I started this morning. Okay, look, let's just start over. Show me what's happening. And that picture right there is probably the best picture of what was going on, integrated in the wrong place with it. The wrong part of you wraps itself around the promise and starts executing faith. You're going to have a result that's contrary to what you're looking for. God wants you to operate in faith from a seated position. How many does that make sense to? Amen. So the Lord said, don't come to me, because I was just coming to him. I was so excited about this. I mean, just from the start, we were just doing it. He goes, no, we're going to empty everything first, because I need to empty this out of you first. I need to get it out of your soul. That's why he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him. How we do? The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder spirit, soul, joint, and marrow. You have to have his light to divide out which operation. And to show me you're too integrated. Even though you're in faith, you're too integrated with it. I need you to let go from your soul so I can re-seat you. And so, how many know what I'm talking about? To stay with me, I'm trying to teach you a very powerful principle in God. David had to learn this. Every man of God, Abraham had to learn this. Constantly learn it. I want you to empty it. And I'm like, I'm wanting to grab it. He goes, let go. Let it go. Everyone say, let it go. Move completely into the rest. And as soon as I got the rest, I want to grab it again. He goes, no, just rest. Chuck was talking about relax this morning. Everyone say, just rest. You're not in charge of this. I am. That's the part that A-types don't. We have a hard time with that. Because A-types and A-types still at one time wants to grab a hold. And God said, get your fingers off of that. Peel that finger off. Don't let it go. And all of a sudden, as soon as I let go, whew, the freedom came. That whole weight lifted off of me. I'm like, I can breathe again. That spirit of Amalek, it's Amalek, there's no doubt about it, came because of the misalignment of my own faith. Does that make sense? I'm teaching you a high level of operation. I hope you get it. Praise God. Father, open the ears to hear, the eyes to see. Praise God. Exercising faith in the wrong place. God said, I'm going to reseat you like David, realign you, and then we're going to come back to the ark. Amen. We're going to do it the right way, from the right place. Amen. From the place I gave it all to you from here, don't you think I want you to exercise the faith from here? It should be a pleasure to do this. It's supposed to be joy to do this. It's not supposed to be a burden. Amen. All right. So David hears about all this, and so he's realigned. 3 months have gone by. It hasn't taken me 3 months. It took me 3 hours, but praise God, we're back. Praise God. So David comes back, and he's going to go back and get the ark now. All right? It's in Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom's already become a millionaire in 3 months. Everybody knows him now. Nobody knew him before. He's happy. He doesn't want it to leave. Obed-Edom doesn't even know what it is. He said, just stick it there. He's like, don't touch it. Just whatever's happening, I like it. Amen? So David comes back to get it, and watch this. So David, verse 12, it was told the king, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him. That's why you want the ark, praise God. You want the glory, because the glory's around, everything is blessed. Amen? So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Now they're going to start dancing again. They're going to start singing again. They're going to start everything they were doing before, but they did something else that they didn't do before. And verse 13. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, when they gone 6 paces, they sacrificed an oxen and a fatling. Imagine that. Taking it from one city to another. 6 paces. Stop. Sacrifice. 6 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stop. Sacrifice. You know what it takes to sacrifice? They got to put him on the altar, the whole thing. That's a lot of work. And after he sacrificed, 6 more paces. They got to do this all the way from Obed-Edom's house, carrying it on poles from Obed-Edom's house all the way into Jerusalem. 6 paces, stop. 6 paces, stop. 6 paces, stop. What's he saying? That he was saying, you have to have that kind of respect for the glory of God, because your soul, if you don't stop and sacrifice, put your body and your soul as a living sacrifice, it will try to integrate. That's how strong it is. It'll try to get back up in the glory set if you'll just go six places and sacrifice. The way we sacrifice, present our body a living sacrifice, present ourselves to the throne of grace. I go a day and I go to the throne of grace. I lay that down. Why? It's going to want to resurrect. You got to keep every six paces. You're going to have to lay it down. Every six paces, something in you still got to die. To bring forth the glory, every six paces, something has to die. The old man, the soul man has to be laid down. Well, I thought I put him down. He will come back. Uzzah. You'll hear it in the night. Uzzah. Man, I haven't dealt with Uzzah in a long time. I've been doing good. All of a sudden, there he is again. I'm like, God, when is this enemy? He said, he will never stop. You got to put him down. Recognize him, put him down. Nobody's that spiritual. Anytime, anywhere, Uzzah, Amalek will show up. It's the enemy's devious plan to misplace trust. And misplace the spirit with a soul. Because as soon as he can do it, he knows it'll cut the glory off because God will not bless the things of the soul. Not in the glory realm. And next year you can do anything, but in the glory realm it has to be right. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, it's got to be right. Sometimes part of you has to be laid down. If you're too integrated and wrapped up into it, you got to let go. And loose it. Every six paces, loose it. Otherwise, you'll be right back down there. You can say amen. All right, turn to Exodus 17. You loose. The Bible gives you power to bind, power to loose. See, I was binding. Whatever you bind on the earth gets bound in heaven. But when I loose that, it gets loosed in heaven, see. I get right again. Joy, life, glory. I mean, when you walk with God, you know when you're right. Amen. You know when something's right. You know when something's not right. If you learn to surrender first, the Lord said, I'm going to tell you what he told me because I'm here to help you. He said, do not exercise faith outside of being at a minimum in the garden of the lilies, at a maximum in the Father's love. Don't try to exercise faith for earthly things. You get too involved with it. I'm just telling you some heavy stuff right here. How many understand what I'm saying? Raise your hand. Praise God forever. All right, Exodus 17. Okay, so they're in the valley, and all of a sudden they run out of water. This whole chapter is amazing. And they first thing they do is turn on Moses. So they get out, they run out of water, and they want to stone Moses. There's no water. They want to go back to Egypt. All of a sudden Moses goes, what do I do, God? And in this moment, he said, strike the rock. Take your rod and strike the rock. And he strikes the rock. Water gushes out. Everybody's happy again. They're all drinking. Glory's flowing. Rivers are flowing. Everything's flowing. Everybody's happy again. They're in the height of a major breakthrough. I mean, when you get water pouring out a rock that can water 6 million people, you've got breakthrough. You've got revival. I mean, you're in the midst of breakout. Amen? Moses is happy. Everybody's happy. Moses is back. You know, they don't want to stone him anymore. They're happy for about 3 days. Now what happens? The enemy comes right in the middle of that breakthrough. While the breakthrough is on, he comes and invades them right there. Right in the middle of it. Always in the midst of breakthrough, keep your eyes. If you talk to the men of God that have had revivals, major moves of the Spirit of God, they'll all say, you got to keep your eyes wide open when God's doing something. Because when God's working, your enemy's working. It's very hard to discern what he's doing. Because you're so high on God. You get too high on God and you don't have the proper eyes to watch what the enemy's doing and how he's working. You'll lose what God's given you. Amen? This time we're not going to lose it. Look at your neighbors there. We're not going to lose it. Glory! Praise God. Right in the middle of this, so verse 8. It says, then came Amalek. Say Amalek. I have a whole series on Amalek. It comes from a root word, Amal. Amal. Guess what that means? Wearisome, tiresome. It actually means irksomeness. I mean, is it an irksomeness? This irritated, weary, tired, heavy. All of that. That's Amalek. It's the result of being out of alignment with God. It's a result of you carrying things you're not supposed to carry. It's a result of the soul taking on responsibility. It's not called to take on responsibility. It's a result of being outside when you're supposed to be properly aligned. Amen. It will show up. It's very hard. I have to preach on Amalek at least once a year. It's very hard to detect it when it shows up. It's very hard. The only way most of the time when you detect Amalek showed up is you have to look at your circumstance. Because Amalek doesn't come up and say, hey, I'm Amalek and I'm here to steal your glory. Doesn't do that. He's there, but it's hard because you have to recognize. See, I recognize because I've been around this. I said, man, something is wrong with what's going on here. Something is wrong. Something's wrong. See, there's an atmosphere that'll get around you that's heavy. Now, I'm talking about a heavy day, but you start having a continual situation with heaviness, oppression, depression, or just feel like walls of steel around you, can't get anywhere. There's something out of alignment. Amen? And you got to get it addressed. You can't just fight through all that. Even Moses had to get a very specific battle plan to defeat Amalek. He had heard from God. Moses actually left that battlefield when Amalek showed up. Moses, the leader, did not go out and fight. He left the battlefield. He left it in the hands of Joshua. And he went up into a mountain and he sat down on a rock. And two men, Aaron and Hur, held the hands up. Wow. And it was while his hands were lifted up, while he sat down on that mountain, when he got above the enemy, when he got above, say above, see the position? When he got above, when he got position, they held his hands up. When he was sat down on a rock in the mountain, Joshua discomfited the enemy. Joshua won the battle. Joshua drove out Amalek. But when his hands got heavy and they dropped, Amalek began to win. Amalek, listen to me, can only be defeated from a position that is above. You cannot, you will war. The Bible says you'll have perpetual warfare with Amalek for perpetual generations. I want you to see this. Look at this in Exodus 17. Very powerful. So verse 23, Joshua wins the whole battle. He discomfits Amalek, his people with the edge of the sword. In verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And rehearse it in the ears of the father's house. At least once a year. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. He's cut off from heaven. See the position? But Moses built an altar, called it Jehovah Nissi. And there's verse 16. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek for perpetual generations. So one verse says he's cut it off, no warfare. And the other verse says you'll have warfare for perpetual generations. One verse says no warfare. One says warfare. No warfare, warfare. You know what he's saying? I'll just show it to you in the visual. If you are here, underneath, you're in perpetual warfare. You're not ever going to get out of it. It's going to be constant. If you are above, it's been put out. You're going to win that battle only from a seated position that's above. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. So if you're in a situation that God is telling you and showing you things and you've been exercising faith and you're in the middle of a battle, if you're out of position, you got to let go of that from the soul. Staying in there and say, I'm a big faith man is not the answer. Staying in there and say, no, I got this by faith. It's all mine. I got it. Praise God. It's going to be very, very painful for you to learn that. You have to let go, even if God said it's yours. Only God tells you to let go what he gives you. He doesn't always tell you to let go. If the wrong part of you is backpacking it, you have to let go of it.
And until you can empty that out and get reseated above it, he's not going to let you pick it up again. Sometimes people have to go through so much to let go, like David, it burns them so bad you get sidelined for a while. I'm never touching that again. And they get in this attitude with God. God, you have to do it. All right, it's not going to be done because I am not touching it. How many's ever been there with something in God? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've gotten so burned. It gets so burned, God, it's yours. I'm not touching that promise. Month goes by, no. 2 months, no. 3 months, David. Obed-Edom, surely getting blessed with your promise. And it pulls you back in. Sometimes reluctantly. Why? Because you're attached to that thing. God doesn't mind you be attached to it. It's your spirit has to be attached to it. Your spirit is made for that kind of thing. There's no such thing as backpacking something in the spirit. You only backpack it in the soul. See, you've emptied out. You got a whole lot more respect, so you come back. How many of you ever come back? God draws you back in. Man, I have let go of that thing. I put it on the shelf. I mean, the shelf is burned out. The shelf that I put it on is burned out, and he gets you right back on it again. See, he's got it backpacked. Praise God. You get around it, it's like, oh, I don't know if I'll touch this again. So all of a sudden you get back around it again. I'm like, oh, we're doing this again. We're doing this again. See, sometimes you get a remembrance of being burned with it. But if you approach it in the spirit, when you put it back, when you get back around it, if you're in the spirit, properly seated where you're supposed to be, glory starts coming back around it. Joy starts coming back around it. Glory, peace, joy, presence of God's all around. I'm like, oh, my friend again. Praise God. We'd be friends again. We're walking with it. As long as you're walking with the Lord, properly seated in the right place, that thing is going to minister life, glory, until the day of its full birth into the earth. What happens if you let your soul get up around it? Abraham did it. Moses did it. David did it. All the greats have done it. There's no, you're probably going to do it more than once. Amen. And when it gets around it, it's designed, something's going to break. Something's going to have to die. So you get to the point where, okay, walk six paces for this thing, sacrifice the soul. Walk six paces, sacrifice the soul. Why? Because you know by experience when you get mature in these things, it's going to try to rise against you. Amen? Walk six paces, sacrifice the soul. Walk six paces, sacrifice. That's how we birth and walk with heavenly things. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. We're going to all, and I'm going to stand up here and pray. Before you come to this altar, I want you to bring that today, your soul, whatever that is. And I want you to lay that today. Now, I want you to lay that down today. Some of you, you might be walking in a really good place right now, but if the Lord has showed you something today, the first thing we have to do is empty out. You got to get out from under the pulpit. Amen? You got to get out and let go of it. Today we're going to let go and you'll reattach in the right place. But today we have to let go of areas we're too involved in. It might be something in your family. It might be your business. It might be ministerial. It might be promise. You might be in the height of the days of promise. But remember, even in the midst of the promises, the enemy is always trying to get you to this place. So today, during this time, between you and God, when the time is right, come to this altar and leave that at the altar. It might be a person you have to leave. You may be backpacking a person. It might be a situation. You got to let go of it today and leave it. Empty your soul of it. Empty under the presence of His glory. Let the two-edged sword divide asunder spirit, soul, joint, and marrow. Let Him divide it out, because I believe me, if He's fighting me, He's probably fighting you. Let go. Amen. And then God will realign your spirit in the proper place to reattach to it. Is abiding in the Lord. As your spirit abides in the Lord, then the Lord has you abide into that promise from the position of the spirit. But today we're going to let go of the soul. We're going to loose what we have bound. We're going to loose today. Whatever you bind on the earth gets bound in heaven. Today we're going to loose from our soul. We're going to go ahead, Chris, start that. We're going to loose today. We're going to loose today. We're going to loose. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we bring these things to you. We loose even the good things, even the promises. Sometimes it might not be a promise you're wrapped up into. Whatever it is, you got to let go all of it from the position of the soul, because that's the wrong position to carry anything. Today we let go. As you get ready, you take it to the altar and you let go. Loose yourself from the being interwoven. The eye of your heart, your spirit must be interwoven with Christ, not the eye of your soul. It cannot be your soul that's interwoven with Christ. It's your spirit. The eye of your heart will be interwoven properly, and He'll interweave you with the promise, and it'll be done in peace. If your soul is interwoven today, let it go. If it's interwoven with people, let it go. If it's interwoven in circumstance, let it go. If it's interwoven today in the business, let it go. If it's interwoven today, let it go. If it's interwoven in fear, let it go. Bring that up, Chris. We let go now. We loose from our heart those things that we have bound. Put your hand over your heart and we loose our soul this day. We break agreements. We break covenants. We break agreements. We command the spirit of Amalek to go this day. We loose agreement in our heart with these things. We break the cords of agreement. We break the cords of agreement with a soul. Father, let the two-edged sword this day separate spirit, soul, joint, and marrow. Let the separation of that which is spirit, the separation of that which is born out of the flesh, the winnowing fork separating chaff from the wheat, the winnowing fork separating. We loose those things. We let go. We let go. We let go. We let go. We know you'll reattach us in the proper way, but right now, we let go. We loose it from the soul. We loose the cords. We loose the chains. We loose the integration of the soul. We break all agreement. We break all covenant. We break this day and let go. We let go, we let go, we let go, we let go, we let go.